Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I would like to reiterate to President Barack Obama.
While the high-profile names include Emmett Till and Donna Washington.
I think it's quite surprising that they're already talking about a second stimulus.
On Tuesday, the board president told NBC 10 News,
quote, cat urine!
Boy, what a headache.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show in the world that knows what it's talking about here every night until 1 o'clock, 4 a.m., like I said. And coming up this hour, we'll take some phone calls from you guys, 877-876-PHIL, because we've laid out a potpourri here. We've put the buffet out. And as we mentioned to you at the start of every program, what we do here is we tell you really how quick, how simple, how no fuss, no muss, you can take a look at world's problems. And if you just go ahead and hang your little Republican and Democrat jacket up for the night, or better yet, throw it in a pile and put gasoline on it and burn it, the little, you know, progressive and, you know, conservative jacket. And just what the hell are we going to do here, okay? What's the problem? How do we solve the problem?
Well, we have 787 million. You know, we never should have.
You know what? Maybe you never should have been born, huh? Maybe I never should have met you. Maybe I never should have married your sister. But I did.
Joke's on you. She used to be my brother.
We got 787 million. What do you want to do with it? I'm going to tell you something. This states' rights thing they trot out, which nobody knows what that means. These clowns that say the federal government is just this and it's that. All right, well, then do what you want to do. Don't take the money. Sit there in a pile of red ink, in a pile of bounce checks, and live your life and have a great time. We're living in it right now here in California. The more I think about it, the more I think that Obama ought to take that $787 million and put it entirely into the defense budget. How do you feel about that one?
Are you kidding? That's insane. People, the anti-peace, or I mean the anti-war people, they would never have that.
Too bad.
How are you going to do that?
How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? Take $787 billion and build the greatest military the world has ever known. With them, what do you call them, Star Trooper outfits? The whole deal, man. They got ray guns, everything. Nobody will ever even think of screwing with us again. And when they say, look at America, it's a military state, Obama can say, the states didn't want it, so I had to do something with it, so I built a bunch of kick-ass weapons. How dare you do that? There are people hungry. All right, then you tell me. People need jobs. Fine, I know people need jobs. And I'm starting to change my mind a little bit about Geithner. You know what? I think he's a little bit of a dim bulb. I really do. I know a lot of people thought that he was. And well, you know, give the guy a shot. Give him a chance. But I'm starting to think that he's a little bit, you know, you talk about a guy. We were talking at the beginning of the show. Who could you put a ski cap on and stick on a bicycle and he'd still look the same? Geithner is one of them.
Yeah, Geithner and Bill O'Reilly. He would.
All right, Bill O'Reilly. Put a ski cap on Bill O'Reilly and put him on a bicycle. One of those bicycles that's got the basket in the front and it's like a girl's bike. He wouldn't look any different. Same thing with Geithner. With all due respect, Mr. Treasury Secretary, I don't mean to, you know, knock you, but would you get up off your ass and start figuring out how this, either the money gets out to the states or we're going to do something with this bread. And like I said, you know, we had all kinds of money back in the early 60s, and we got all kinds of money right now, even though it's all, you know, borrowed. When the Ruskies put that Sputnik up and Kennedy said, that's nice, you guys put a baseball up in space, good for you, we're going to go land on the moon. And they're like, ha, 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 well, really? Well, watch this. And guess what we get for our trouble? 30 years later, most school kids think the first man on the moon, and if you think I'm kidding, you can look this up. The first man on the moon was Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you think that.
No, it's Buzz. It wasn't Buzz Lightyear?
No, it wasn't Buzz Lightyear.
Man, you are dumb.
How do you figure I'm dumb? Who was Buzz then?
Buzz Aldrin, man, not Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear.
Oh.
That's who a lot of people think landed on the moon. Take that $787 million and give it to our schools, okay? With this proviso, every single solitary teacher in every school in America has to get recredentialed. Recredentialed. Yeah, sure, it might bust their union, but there's a good union to bust. President Obama, sir, with all due respect, if you really want to be remembered in posterity, Ronald Reagan opened up the very first 2 years of his presidency by busting the Air Traffic Controllers Union because they decided to go on strike at the worst possible time in America's history, in the middle of a recession. They went out on strike. They wanted more money. They wanted this and they wanted that. Reagan gave them, I don't know what, 20, 48 hours to get their asses back to work, or he'd bust their union apart. They had a guy running their union by the name of Robert Pohl, who was about as stupid as the day is long. He thought he could muscle the federal government. He thought he could muscle Ronald Reagan, because after all, the guy's a movie actor. What does he know about being president? Oh, really? Guess what? Robert Pohl was out on his ass. He was sitting there with a big hole in the ass end of his pants as he was walking down the street trying to pull his jacket down. Gone. Gone. He was in the headlines one day, the next day, gone. Air Traffic Controllers Union, gone. Brought in the military. The union tried to fool around. They tried to jam the, radios of the air traffic controllers. You can believe that. I don't think it was the union. It must have been guys that they hired. I don't know who it was, but they actually tried to make the airways of America less safe. They tried to screw with the system when they realized that their union was done. So here's something Obama can do. He can say, we're going to recredential every teacher in America. We're going to put this money into schools, but every teacher in America has to be recredentialed because, frankly, we're not buying it anymore. There's just enough bad teaching going on. And when they decide to give him a problem, he can simply say, well, all right, then we're not going to deal with you. We'll deal with other teachers. We will actively support scabs, strike breakers. He could bust them up, too. Now, do you think it'll make him popular with labor? No. But then busting up the air traffic controllers didn't exactly make Reagan popular with. But you know, one thing that it did do, it kept a strike from happening in the middle of a recession. See, somewhere along the way, the president is going to have to make a very dramatic move that's going to piss a lot of people off. Is he willing to do that? I think he is. My question is, what's it going to be? You can take this to the bank. In order for Obama to have an effective first term, somewhere along the line, he's going to have to make an extremely... He hasn't done anything that dramatic. The stimulus is that it's a lot of spending, and there's a lot of pot shots from the conservatives. Yabbity, yabbity, yabbity. You know, we've heard it all before, and I understand. And yeah, maybe it's a lot of red ink. And have you guys got any better ideas? No, of course you don't. And everybody was in a panic when the banks were going under, including Bush and a whole bunch of Republicans. So we're all in the same boat. And coming up with a stimulus package, that's not what I call a dramatic move. That's de rigueur, man. That's according to the playbook. No, he's going to have to make a very dramatic move between now and the end of his term to get the attention not only of the country, but to make things start moving in this country. It's going to have to be dramatic. It's going to have to be big. It's going to involve pissing off a lot of people. And in the end, he'll be right. That's what you got to do, see? All right, 877, isn't that a simple thing?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, I don't know. Do you think he's going to have to go, like, maybe shoot Biden or something?
What do you mean, shoot Biden? That's not what I'm talking about, man. God, man, you dumb. What do you mean, shoot? He ain't going to shoot the vice president of the United States. That means they'd arrest him for that.
But what do you mean by dramatic?
I don't know, but it'll have to be dramatic somewhere. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Twitter with us at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Let's get the phone calls going here because we've been putting a lot of stuff out there. I've been challenging all the states' rights stuff, challenging people on the stimulus. What do you want to do with the money, huh? We're talking about other things, man. We got those little kids that are, you know, being kicked out of that pool just because some old lady doesn't like the smell of a black kid, even though she's crapping in the deep end. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening. The world's got to get moving. Plus, Michael Jackson, he ain't even cold yet. How can I say he ain't even cold? He might have been cold 4 days before he died. Anyway, they're now thinking possibly there's a homicide investigation warranted. I don't know, but there's doctors involved. Maybe there's been some malfeasance or misfeasance that was involved. Anyway, coming up, Arizona State Senator says the Earth is only 6,000 years old. All right.
It is.
877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. Yeah.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL is our number. We're at www.philhenryshow.com, where tonight and every night you can see a live Okay, so thanks. No, you can see a...
God, what happened?
I got too far ahead of myself. A live video stream of our show. You can watch the show as well as listen to the show. Live audio stream and on demand available very, very shortly. In fact, we did a pre-show tonight for our subscribers, people watching video, and they were watching before the show, and I was explaining to them what's up with the on demand, which means you can watch any time of the day or listen any time of the day, and the audio you can download to your iPod and listen to the show. Plus, our affiliate list is growing by leaps and bounds. Well, by little, you know, steps.
Yeah, like a step up on a curb.
Yeah, by curb steps, it's going. So we should be in a town near you any day now. All right, 877-876-PHIL, a vet-turned-congressman, and don't ask, don't tell. Yeah, I know we did this story last night because I remember saying, you get your veteran, I'll get mine. How come you didn't think we did this last night?
I don't remember. I was probably asleep. You know.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to Steve in Phoenix. Steve, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, so I'm sure you got one of the most creative shows on the radio. Listen every night, and
thank you.
I was going to tell you, although I agree with you on this, you know, I think a lot of this is politically motivated in terms of why the money is not getting out. I don't think it was designed to get out this year, and that's why I think it's trickling down. The other thing was, you know, you had mentioned. Why do you say that?
Why do you say that? You're not buying that story that came out. Are you buying that story that came out today that, you know, the states that voted for Obama are getting the money and the ones that didn't? Please.
No. I think that brings me to a second point is why some of the states aren't taking it. I think a lot of that is designed because it comes with clauses on restructuring how things are done with welfare reform and things like that and their taxes. And so I think with the money comes federal, you know, rewritings of the state laws or stuff like that. So I think that's why some of these guys are a little apprehensive to take that money. The biggest thing that I have with, you know, the stimulus is, say we do what you want to do and do this, the roads, the construction, this and that. The problem is say we get done with this 2, 3, 4 years from now, where do these people go to work then? If you don't mix it in with a private enterprise and it's all just public, you know, you're going to have the same problem a couple of years from now, too. That's why I think you want to invest.
At some point, you also are hopeful that the economy is going to get better so that the job situation is going to improve and that these people can find. You have to let it happen. And one of the things that has to be done is that businesses need to start to grow. Businesses need to start to expand. They need customers, obviously. But more to the point, they also want to be able to have cash on hand so that they can expand and they can hire when things begin to pick up. The banks stop doing that, you know.
No, I agree. I think, you know, there's bigger things at play in terms of how the money's getting out, if it's getting held, you know, for a certain reason, for political gain next year for the
why not apply the same standard to the state? You say for their political ideological reasons they don't want to take the money. In other words, the federal government has an idea as to how this money needs to be spent. The state has an idea as to how this money needs to be spent. The two sides can't come together for love or money. Now you could say just give it to the state and do whatever the hell you want with it. And what, you know, and
that,
if
they won't let them do that, they you know, this comes with.
Well, no. What if they did do that and things didn't improve? Then you're going to hold the bag, man. If we give that money to the states with no strings attached and nothing gets better, nothing improves.
No, I think they can. I think, like you say.
No, that's I think is one thing, man. I'm saying you got to stand there holding the bag. If they give that money to your state or any state, okay, there you go, Charlie. Here's the money. Do what you want with it. And five years from now, they're still in the toilet. Then who's to blame?
Well, here's the best thing you can do. And you'd mind.
All right, I got to run. I got to get going, man. I appreciate your phone call. Here is Mark in. It's just something to think about. I'm not saying you're wrong. Here's Mark in Seattle. Mark, go ahead. You're up, brother. I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, as a taxpayer.
I'd like to see a return on our investment in Iraq. If we're going to occupy another country, then we should take their oil.
Well, we're not occupying them. We've pulled our troops back from the outlying cities. We've taken a subservient role there in terms of, not subservient, but we've taken a secondary role in terms of the defense of the country. We've already stood down one level, at least. I mean, we're on our way to handing the thing over to them, man. It's a little late now.
If we're going to go,
it's a little late now.
And the military, we should get a return on our investment. We should be getting free oil.
We got a return on our investment. We got rid of the number one terror sponsoring nation in the region. We've got a democracy, a burgeoning, possibly a successful democracy in a country that in a part of the world where they have none. You've got a rising democracy movement in Iran. This could have far-reaching effects in the region, a stable and democratic Iraq. It could be dramatic, and I don't understand why people don't see that. It could be profoundly dramatic.
No, but we could do that, but just take our cut.
No, man, we ain't taking any cut for political reasons as well as practical. For political reasons as well as practical. Yeah, sorry. Thanks for your call, though. Great idea, man. You should have thought of that. In fact, people have been talking about that, and it might have been viable 5 years ago. You're not taking any oil because that's exactly what, you know, you're playing right into the hands of the individuals over there who say that we're nothing more than a colonizing power. You know, we're paying for that, just like Britain's paying for it. It's like the rest of the world's paying for it. We're paying handsomely for it. But the fact is, I don't want to be in the oil business in the Middle East any more than anybody else does. I don't want to be in that part of the world any more than anybody else does. I'd like to see us pull everything out of that region other than an aircraft carrier and some nuclear missiles to protect Israel, and that's it. Unless, of course, everybody wants to start playing nice. And let's come back to America, and let's start developing our natural resources. And, yeah, we can be green. That sounds like a lot of fun to me, man. But in the meantime, drilling oil, and the price of oil ain't going to come down. We're talking about a principle here, folks. Just on principle alone, we ought to be drilling our own oil. You'd think that people in the whatever movement you want to call it, whether they're conservative or liberal or environmental or an anti-environmental, on principle alone, we ought to be drilling for our own oil as a way of saying we're done, finished, thank you, goodbye. Forget about whether it's going to be cost-effective. How do we bounce from the argument that we are a colonizing military superpower occupying a region of the world? How do we bounce from that to then saying, oh, well, you know, drilling for our own oil, why that won't do poo in terms of the price of oil. Why, what we need is green. And, oh, yeah, okay, that's swell, man. So we'll get green, all right? We'll get green. Meanwhile, the auto industry is just, I don't know if you noticed or not, they're almost non-existent. So good luck with the politics of that. All right, let's move on here to Stephen in Phoenix. Stephen, how are you? You're on
I'm
the air.
I'm doing great, Phil. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Hello?
Oh. Yes, fine, thank you.
I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. Love your show. I just want to make a quick comment about the teaching comment that you made earlier about that the teachers need to be re-credentialed. And I think that's kind of true, but I think that we also need to take a big look at the curricular.
You know curriculum? The curricular? Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
I know what you mean.
When I was going to school,
the curriculum,
we learned real deep into, like, you know, all these events that happened in our American history, and then now my kids are going to school, and I'm looking at what they're learning, and they have no clue of what I learned, and I'm like, what are they teaching you?
Well, what are they? What do you mean? Give me an example.
Like when we learned about Ulysses S. Grant. About his life and stuff.
Useless S. Grant and curricular. Where are we going? What is his name?
Steven.
What?
Oh, no,
what's the name of the general?
Useless S. Grant, the president.
Get out of here. Is this a joke call, man? It's got to be shtick. Thanks for the call, though. Here is Kevin in Portland. Kevin, what's on your mind? Oh, you know what, Kevin? Hold the line. Hold the line, brother, because we're out of time. The cat, you know what it was? It was a tip-off when he said Useless Grant.
Yeah, that's an old joke. And you should have recognized that right away.
What do you mean I should have recognized it?
When he said it the first time.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether the kids know who Useless S. Grant is. They may know, though, who Ulysses S. Grant is, and maybe that's the hang-up there, brother. Maybe what you should say to them is, thank you very much for getting the name straight for me. Your daddy thought it was Useless.
No, Daddy, that's your name.
Oh, okay. We'll be right back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Arizona Senator believes the Earth is 6,000 years old. That's right.
Phil Hendry.
6,000 years old. Long time in a man's life.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we're going to reset a little bit the story of the graves that were moved there in Illinois. Margaret Gray will be with us. Vernon Dozier. Margaret is a nationally syndicated newspaper columnist. Mr. Dozier, an educator, a high school administrator as well. We'll talk about that story when we come back. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And a reminder that our website, www.philhenryshow.com, is the live streaming video of the program tonight, as well as our audio. Now, you guys know I am on the MetaFast diet. In fact, if you go to MetaFastPhil.com, that is M-E-D-I-F-A-S-T, Phil, P-H-I-L, dot.
How do you spell that?
What do you mean, how do you spell that? .com. MetaFast.com, you're going to find out about the diet that I've been on the last month. 10 pounds, well, not exactly, 9.5 pounds.
Yeah.
That's right, almost 10 pounds I've lost on my way to my goal weight, which is somewhere, you know, roughly between 210 and 220, 215, 220, something like that. You lose weight quickly. I'm telling you, I've been on the diet for a month now, 10 pounds, and it is healthy, guys. This is not a pill. It's not a drug. It is a diet that has been developed to help you lose weight quickly while learning to eat healthier. Now, I will tell you that I went off the diet last night. I had a McDonald's hamburger. Other than that, at night I have my lean and green meal, and then I have my choice throughout the day of 70 meal options provided by MetaFast. So you have a lean and green meal. What does that mean? You have some meat, and you have some vegetables, and that's a beautiful thing. Then you have your meal options. There's a Maryland crab soup. There is a cream of broccoli. There's a hearty chili. Delicious shakes. Man, I lived on those shakes for a week. They were so good. And then I decided, well, maybe I ought to have, like, something else, you know. But again, we're talking about a diet that has been recommended by many, many doctors. Thousands and thousands of people have been on this diet since 1980. We're talking about 15,000 doctors recommending the diet to countless thousands of people since 1980. So we're talking about a diet that is healthy, recommended by people who want to know, okay? They offer programs, by the way, for both men and women, two types of diets for people who have diabetes. So if you're suffering from that, MetaFast can help you as well. Why don't you go on over there to MetaFastPhil.com and check out the entire program like I did, and you'll start losing inches, you'll start losing pounds, and you will not lose out on essential nutrition. You're not going to be pumping yourself up with any drugs. Nothing fancy, man, just a good, healthy way of losing weight. Please do this. MetaFastPhil.com. I think you'll be very, very happy with the results, and you're going to be really happy knowing that you did it a very, very healthy way, a nutritious way. And lose weight with Phil here at night, right? And you know how it is, man. If you're working at night, you guys are third shift like me. You get home, you eat, and you fall out on your fat ass, and you're laying in bed, and that fat just, your butt is like 50 pounds bigger when you wake up, right? You don't have to live that way anymore. MetaFastPhil.com. That's MetaFastPhil.com. All right. I want to reset to the story that we were talking about earlier, and that is this grave robbing. It's not really a grave robbing, but it happened in Illinois, and it was a cemetery called the, it was the Oak Burr Cemetery south of Chicago. But the important news here is that it was a cemetery with literally hundreds of graves. 300 of these graves had been exhumed. The bodies dumped elsewhere in the property, and new bodies put into these grave sites. This was a horrible desecration of these graves, and it was obviously fraud and a whole bunch of it. It's called Burr Oak. What do I call it? Oak Burr?
Yeah, well, it's called Burr something.
Yeah, I thought Raymond Burr.
Raymond Burr, huh?
Well, that's the one you're talking about?
No, you dumbass, Carl. We mean Raymond Burr.
Don't you never call me a dumbass.
It's called Oak Burr, not Raymond Burr,
in Illinois. and the fraud and the desecration, and Jesse Jackson was there. And I'm telling you right now, it was a cluster you-know-what. Margaret Gray joining us from Santa Monica, California this evening. We had Margaret, how are you?
Phil, very well this evening, but of course I'm very concerned about this story, and I wanted to weigh in on that.
Well, let me get also Vernon Dozier. And Vernon, how are you tonight?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very well. I'm very happy to be on with Ms. Gray.
How are you?
I'm very good. I'm excited to be on with you.
Why is that?
Well, I think the last time we were on, from my understanding, you lean very liberal, don't you?
I am very liberal. I'm a progressive. We don't call ourselves liberals anymore.
Well, we've always called ourselves conservatives.
All right, well, let me ask both of you. I'll start with Margaret. Your comment on this horrible, horrible event there in Illinois, Jesse Jackson was out there. The Cook County DA was out there. The loved ones of these people whose bodies were not only dumped, they were dismembered in some cases.
Well, Phil, the question that came to my mind, I think it was the very same question, that came to a lot of your listeners' minds. When you mentioned the names of the individuals that were responsible for this, can you tell me very slowly, were they white or were they black?
Well, you know what? I was asked the same question, I think, by another caller.
Yes, I did hear that. Would you please tell me...
They were black.
No. Could you say it very slowly? This is very key, Phil.
Well, I don't know how slow I can say it.
This is very key. Were they white? The owners now, the people that perpetrated the crime.
Yeah. I'd like to know that answer, too.
I said to the other caller, they were black.
Please, would you please...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hold on. Would you please, very slowly... We have to be sure, Phil.
Are you talking...
I'm talking about the people that were arrested, yes.
I want to know the answer to this, too, Phil, yeah.
I said, they're black.
No, very slowly.
Well, how slow...
Do you mind?
I just wonder how slow he's supposed to say it.
Do you mind if I speak? Can I speak without you also speaking?
Margaret, what do you mean by very slowly?
We have to be sure. I need for you to very slowly and very carefully tell me, were they white or were they black? This is so important, Phil. Please.
I told you. They're black.
What did I just say to you?
I think she said to say it slow, Phil.
What do you mean, say it slow?
What am I stuttering over here? I said say it slowly, please.
They're black.
Slowly. For God's sake.
Yeah, don't you hear too good?
What do you mean slowly?
Say what they were slowly. Were they white or were they black? Slowly. That's good.
Black.
No.
No, it's got to be slower.
Slower.
What are you talking about?
Slowly, please.
Mr. Hall.
Oh, come on.
I knew it.
Good thing.
Yes, David.
What did the lady ask you to do?
She asked me to tell her the race of the people that owned the cemetery.
I know, but did she say slowly?
I did, Mr. Hall.
Yes. Did she say slowly?
Yes.
Then do it slow. What color were they?
Black.
Slower.
Yeah, we need it slower.
Black.
Slower?
Black. Will you get out of here slower?
So they were black.
Yes, they were black. I've said it about 19 times now.
Oh, boy, that's trouble. Yeah, we got a problem.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, why do you love that?
Let me tell you why I love it. Because we've just avoided Rodney King Part 3. I love it. I love it on behalf of law enforcement. I love it on behalf of the people of this country. Because if they had been white, they... Why are you upset?
I'm upset. What do you mean, why am I upset?
Yeah, I think we need to know, why are you upset?
Good question.
Oh, I see. So the two men are going to turn the tables now on the woman, huh? Is that what it is?
Oh, wait. Hold on, Margaret. You had two guys and yourself going up against me here a minute ago with that whole black thing or whatever it was you wanted me to do.
I think it's bad because we had an opportunity here to show that there still was, and there still is, Phil, a racial divide in this country.
Oh, man. Oh, boy, you don't know how that... I'm going to tell you something right now.
You know what? Are you pointing your finger?
Am I doing what?
Are you pointing your finger right now?
Yes, I am.
Don't point your finger at me.
Well, you can't see me pointing my finger. How dare you tell me not to point my finger?
You can't see him pointing his finger. Why would you ask him to do that?
I don't want anybody pointing their finger on me. Don't you put your finger on me. Show some respect. Harvey Keitel, Clockers.
Lady, what I'm trying to tell you is this. We, boy, I'm tense. We were able to avoid. God almighty, you are in more dire need of a...
All right.
I'm saying that we avoided a possible racial situation if they'd been white.
And I'm saying, had they been white, we would have exposed racism.
How can you expose racism? How can you expose racism if it doesn't exist?
It would have existed had they been white.
No, you're not making any sense now, Margaret. I got to agree with Vernon. You're saying that you wanted it to, you wanted them to be white.
Yes, I do. I'm sorry, Phil, but I had two Diet Cokes.
What a pig. I'm here trying to fight for the lives of cops, and you belch right into my face.
Excuse me, am I on a phone?
Margaret, that was about as crude a thing as I've ever heard. You're a woman.
Oh, I see. Women don't belch. Is that it? Women don't belch? The next woman you're out with, and I don't know when that's going to be, I don't know when that could possibly be, feed her an equal portion, say, Diet Coke and Szechuan chicken, and see if she doesn't bring up a real power... See if she doesn't bring up a power play.
Hey, we're not talking about that right now.
I think it's pretty crude.
We're not talking about that right now. Now, Mr. Henry said...
God almighty, listen to you. Should I call you Mr. Stress?
Lady, you are purposely trying to get me angry.
Oh, my God. I mean, is there something... What, you got a rocket in your pocket? Or are you just glad to see me?
Margaret, I need to use the phone.
Why?
I got to go to the bathroom.
Who's that?
It's my husband. No business of yours. Why do you need the phone for the bathroom?
Because I want to make a call from in there.
Wait a minute. Could you just get back on the line, please?
Yes. I am saying...
I'm not interested in what you're saying. I'm a teacher, do you understand?
Well, I'm a mother.
Well, I was a father until they took the kids away from me, and that's a whole other story.
Oh, my God.
No, no, it's not an oh, my God. I fell deeply in love with one of my students.
How old was she?
17, but I waited till she was 18. And as soon as she was graduated, we went to a motel, but she was 18. Now, my question is this. Are they white or are they black?
I told you they're black.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, you see, now he's Roman Catholic. Now I understand. So he didn't want a race war. I did, because then that would unveil the racism in this country, and I'm far enough away from it because I live in Santa Monica. All right, Frank, here's your phone. Take your dump.
Oh, God.
That woman, Mr. Henry, I don't know why you have her on the phone.
Yeah, all right. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to... phone call. We got Tank in Austin. Tank, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, that lady, how's she going to sit there and point a finger at whether it's a race color? You know, it don't matter what color the people are that own the place. I mean, if there was a racial divide in this country, if there's so much of a big racial divide in this country, why is there a black man running this country?
First of all, there are black people. If there had been white people who owned that cemetery,
what does it matter whether they're black or white?
Because if they're white, then I can show that there's a racial divide. Now, you just said that
we wouldn't be talking about it on the radio, would we?
Excuse me, no. No. Exactly. You know as well as I do, we have a racial divide. And you said we have a what president?
California. You live in
Santa
Monica, California.
Ma'am, no, sir. You said we have
California.
I don't think you did. You're white.
Whoa. What do you mean you don't?
You are white. What are you doing in Compton other than delivering water? What would you be doing down there? I don't understand.
I live down there, dear.
What did you say we had what kind of a president? What did you say?
Let me make sure you understand me. Let me say it in a southern drawl. He was an African American.
No, wrong. You did it. No, you have to do it slower because you have to be clearer.
Why does he have to do it?
No, I want you to know what it is you're saying. Say what he is.
No, don't tell him what to do. Sir, don't tank. Don't do it.
What do you mean tank? Are you a white man or a black man? Yes or no?
Me? I'm half Indian, half Australian.
That's not yes or no.
He just told you that he's not black.
Well, what's with the name Tank?
What's with the name Tank?
Yes.
I'm a fat person.
Well, I've never heard of a white... I've heard of a lot of fat black men called Tank. But fat white men are usually called fats.
What is that?
I said a fat white man is fats, a fat black man is Tank.
Okay, look.
Let me ask something. You laugh about this. You laugh about a racial divide in this country, but I can assure you, had the owners of that cemetery been white, I would have been able to expose racism.
If the owners had been white, they aren't white. They're black. Is that good news or bad? I don't know. God.
I don't know which one y'all said it, that we avoided a Rodney King the third part. You know, the Rodney King the first
that,
part.
That was me, sir.
The third part. You know, it don't matter what part it is. If the person's black, Korean, Indonesian, it was done wrong.
I'll tell you what was done wrong. Here's what was done wrong. The fact that they gave the title to that cemetery to black people. It should have been given over to the whites that wanted it. If they'd given it over to the whites that wanted it.
So, I see.
So that means that that it should have been a white-owned deal.
Yes, and that way we would have seen white people dumping. It would have been whites dumping. The whites.
Who's the racist now?
What are you talking about?
The racist would have been the whites. Because they would have been the ones dismembered. You know, I really find it refreshing that a man named Tank can laugh into my face. I don't understand that. But, Mr. Hendry, I've had a wonderful time on your program, I don't think I've been treated with respect, and I hope that someday, Phil, when they finally figure out the addition to that, to the new wing in hell, that you find yourself taking a dump in the napalm pond. Good night.
Yeah, well, we hope you're there with them.
All right, well, taking a dump, she is at all class, isn't she? Tank, thank you so much for your call. Our number, 877. Vernon, do you have anything more you want to say?
I wanted to... You purposely put her on, and... Oh, God.
Are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. No, I'm not. I'm not all right at all.
Even though there's no race riot?
Yes.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with the stories that we couldn't get to right after this. What a sick...
You need to put all the people on.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, time out for the stories we couldn't get to tonight. Unfortunately, there's a few of them. Oh, gosh, I wanted to do the one. What was that one, Jace, we were going to do? I forget. We'll do it tomorrow night. Anyway, here are some of the stories we couldn't get to tonight. A fleeing woman captured while trying to light a crack pipe. So, in other words, while she's running from the cops, in Alpharetta, Georgia, a woman who let what, bud?
Oh, I just want to make a point. Alpharetta, Georgia is named after a maid.
Alpharetta, Georgia. Turn off the... Alpharetta, Georgia was what?
Named after someone's maid.
No, it was not named after someone's maid.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
I don't know what it sounds like, man. In Alpharetta, Georgia, a woman who led Sandy Springs... Was that named after somebody's maid?
Maybe.
Yeah, her name was Sandy Springs. In Sandy Springs, the cops were on a high-speed chase Wednesday night after this lady was allegedly trying to light a crack pipe, even as officers broke a window out in her vehicle to arrest her. Boy... That's dedication. The chase began in the 7800 block of Roswell Road after a tag check on a 2005 Hyundai revealed that the registered driver's license had been suspended for driving under the influence, according to the Sandy Springs cops. When the officer attempted to stop the Santa Fe, the Hyundai Santa Fe, Lisa Beth Solonak, age 43, made a U-turn and sped northbound on Roswell Road. Rose said officers deployed stop sticks at Dunwoody Place and Roswell Road, deflating two of the suspect's tires. The car then drove on to Verdun Drive off Roberts Drive, where it struck one of the police vehicles. The suspect's car was then cornered and pinned to a stop by two Sandy Springs police vehicles. God! Rose said that as officers were breaking the side windows of the Santa Fe to take Solonak into custody, she was in the process of trying to light what appeared to be a crack pipe. Solonak was charged with obstruction of a police officer, fleeing and or attempting to elude a police officer, disorderly conduct, driving under the influence of drugs, and 8 traffic charges. She's in the Fulton County Jail, awaiting on an initial court appearance on Friday. Rose said one Sandy Springs police officer was treated and released for a minor injury sustained during the chase. God, what a nightmare, man. I mean, what is she thinking? You know, one final hit on the pipe before I go in. In Denton, Texas, God might not be the only one passing judgment on a man who skipped out on paying $200 for a religious tattoo at a parlor. Denton police are investigating a non-payment complaint filed by a tattoo artist who inscribed, "Only God can judge me," on a customer's arm. The Denton Record Chronicle reported Thursday that the artist finished the work, which included a pair of praying hands, and presented the bill. The customer Monday offered a credit card, which was declined, and then he ran out of the store. Misspellings continued to plague the Obama administration on Thursday after two more releases contained errors and were sent to reporters in the last 24 hours. After misspelling the president's name as Barack, how do you spell his name? B-A-R-A-K Obama yesterday on an official, that's how I always spelled it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Anyway, I guess it's a misspell. Yesterday, on an official document sent to reporters, the General Services Administration messed up another message when announcing it had awarded an $18 million contract to redesign the website, keeping track of spent stimulus dollars recovered. Oh, why don't you guys get a life, man? Honest to God, I can't even read this rotten story.
Look at all the misspellings.
Anyway, we don't have any more time, thank goodness. All right, we'll be back tonight or tomorrow night, as the case may be. Our show produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Stick around for our uncensored podcast for you subscribers on our videocast coming up next on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.